We are jumping in now. We are in a series called My House, Volume 2. Back in March, we felt like, man, God was leading us to really focus on the family, okay? To help our families, that if our families are healthy, not only will our church be healthy, but our city, our country, the world, if we can get down and attack some of the major problems that come within the family. Now, if you're a single, you might be going, man, you're talking a lot about the nuclear family, and we have, but here's what I want you to understand. It doesn't mean that you can check out because you are on some spectrum. Some of you are from a teenager to maybe in your 20s, 30s. Maybe you're on looking forward to the future of being married. You need to understand these principles so that you know what to look for, so that you're prepared for that. Maybe you're on the back end of that. Maybe we have some widows, widowers that says, man, I'm probably not going to be married. Well, here's what the scripture tells you to do. It says older women teach the younger women. Older men teach the younger men. You've got a huge mentoring responsibility to help not only your kids and your grandkids, but the students and the young people and the young couples that are married within our church. So it doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. This stuff is for you, okay? Now, last week, we talked about his needs and her role in meeting those needs. Today, ladies, it's your turn. We're going to talk about her needs and his role in meeting those needs. Now, last week, when we talked about the needs of man, we said, ladies, it ain't rocket science, right? I mean, listen, we're not that complicated. But today, as we talk about the needs of our wives, gentlemen, well, I want you to know it's really not rocket science either. It's much more difficult than rocket science, okay? I mean, it's harder than rocket science, and so, but you guys can get it, all right? There's amazing differences between men and women. We said that last week. There's amazing differences. And that's a great thing. It's not a bad thing. But we need to know that differences that are created in men and women by God also create different needs. And if we don't understand the needs of our spouse, then there's going to be trouble in paradise, right? I mean, think about this. It takes 4 years of college, 4 years of med school, and 3 years of residency to become a doctor. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes to become married, okay? And so most of us enter into it really not having a clue at what we're doing or what's going on, right? We enter into it behind the eight ball, so to speak. And so we want to help that, right? I heard a story of a man who went to a trade fair, and he was at this trade fair, and he saw a case, and it was interesting. So he went over and looked at it, and inside the case was two brains, a male brain and a female brain. They were for sale. The male brain was $20,000, and the female brain was $50. And so he thought, he sort of giggled at himself. Yeah, that's the way it ought to be. Look at the man's brain. It's worth so much more than the female brain. And so he asked, why is there such a difference in the price? And the attendant said, well, the male brain's worth more because it's never been used, right? And so, all you ladies are like, that's right, guys. Well, here's the issue, right? What I want you to understand is that's sort of the way we men are portrayed. You know, in sitcoms and everything, is we're portrayed as brainless, you know, just sort of ambling through life and all that. That's not really the case. Some men don't really know what the needs are of women, but sometimes it's not a matter of knowing. Sometimes it's a matter of just a commitment to meet those needs. And so we want to help you with both today. Guys, we got you. And so we're going to look at some needs of women and your role, gentlemen, in meeting those needs, okay? Now, these are not needs that I come up with. These are not needs that our staff got together and said, hey, what do we really need to, you know, what do we think the needs are? This is based on research, and basically two guys, Dr. Gary Rosenberg and also Willard Harley, have written books called Five Love Needs of Men and Women and His Needs, Her Needs, and these are some great books. And so I'm just pointing out that these needs come out of research and not out of opinion, all right? And so there are many needs of women, like there are many needs of men, but we're today going to talk about four needs of women as we talked about four needs of men last week. And so let's dive in. The very first need of a woman, the number one need according to research, is appreciation. Okay, guys, just as you need respect. Remember last week we said guys need respect. More than they need to be told they're loved, they need to be told they're respected, right? They need to see that they're respected more than they need to feel loved. Matter of fact, respect is the way a lot of guys spell love, right? Well, guys, just as you need to know that you're respected, your wife needs to know she's appreciated. I mean, think about all our wives do. I mean, I'm going to speak specifically about my house for a moment. In my house, Amy manages our home. She is the buyer. She is the accountant. She is the cook. She is the chef, cook, doctor, nurse, all rolled into one. She's the chauffeur. She's the teacher, the tutor. She's the peacemaker. She does all of these things, and on and on and on and on, and I could go. And I bet that's the way it is in your home. And a matter of fact, if we tried to, we could not place a financial value on all of the different things that our wives do. We could not place a financial value on those things. They're almost like superwomen in what they do, yet and when it comes down to it, most women feel, rather than appreciated for what they do, they feel rather neglected for what they do. And I want to explain to you, read a verse out of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And as I read this verse, here's what I want to help you to understand, that if you are not a believer, the things that we talk about within the family, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, then a lot of this stuff's not going to really make any sense to you because it's so countercultural, okay? It's so countercultural to do these things, but they're biblical, and biblical is typically countercultural, okay? And so we come at a place from the Bible is where we're coming from in these things, and so I want you to know and make sure of that. And look at let's look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, likewise, husbands, is speaking to obviously men, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, a couple of things stick out here. Here in Peter, we're told that basically our prayers can be hindered in ways that we treat our wives, ways that we honor our wives, or not treat, or disrespect. And our wives, in other words, the way we treat our wives have a great bearing on our spiritual life and vice versa, okay? And so there's another word here. It talks about the wives of the weaker vessel. And when you read that, you know, the world looks at that and goes, oh, see, they so devalue women. And not at all, okay? I mean, there's many interpretations, but we know, I mean, physically women are created in a not as physically strong as men. That's by creation, right? There's different roles in creation, and that's by creation. And what happened is when Adam and Eve ate the fruit in the Garden of Eden, and they rebelled, they sinned, then God comes in and he brings the curse upon them, and he basically tells Adam and Eve, to Eve, your desire will be for him, and that doesn't mean that she'll desire you sexually, guys, you wish it did, but it means that she'll desire your role as a leader, and he will dominate you, means that he will, obviously, that's obvious. And so what's happened since Adam and Eve ate the fruit in the garden, because women are physically weaker, men have been taking advantage of women in so many ways. And here's what Scripture says. Scripture says that we men should recognize the strength of women. We should value them. We should help them feel significant and honored by the way we appreciate women. Okay? This is what we're told in 1 Peter. Now, living with our wives in an understanding way, living with them in an understanding way at least means that we understand their needs, right? That we understand that there are different needs that women have, and we appreciate them and let them know that we appreciate them for what they do, and because that's one of the great needs that they have. Now, men, when I read this, when it says, men, live with your wives in an understanding way. Live with your wives in an understanding way, honoring them. Let me ask you this. Does that describe you or does it convict you? Because it should do one or the other. If it doesn't describe you as a husband, that you live with your wife in an understanding way, but you honor them, if that does not describe you, then it should convict you. So does it describe you? Do you live with your wife in an understanding way? Do you live with your wife in a way that honors them? Or does it convict you? Because that really does not describe you. It's common for husbands to neglect telling their wives that they love them and appreciate them. And how many times have I heard, man, you just never tell me you love me. I just want to hear that you love me. And so many times guys are like, man, I don't need to tell you I love you. Or my wife doesn't need for me to tell her I love her or appreciate her. I told her when we got married, if it changes, I'll let her know, right? I mean, guys, listen, if that describes you, then you're more clueless than Butch Jones at a coaching clinic, okay? Don't let that be you. right? I mean, so we need to practically, we need to show our wives appreciation. We need to show them how valuable they are to us. It's just a need they have. They need to know that they're appreciated, that we think they're significant. How do we do that practically? Let me just give you some very practical ways, okay? One, just very, and these are so simple. We men think it's rocket science. Now understanding women, you know, aren't you so glad that in 1 Peter 3, he didn't command us, men, understand your wives. That's it. God knows that's impossible, right? He said, men, live with your wives in an understanding way. You know, I just said that joke, and the women didn't want to laugh. The men were afraid to laugh, weren't you? Listen, he says, live with them in an understanding way. And so it's not difficult. So we can't get inside completely each other's brains, but here's what I'm telling you. Literally, meeting their needs is not that difficult. It's very simple, to be honest. How do you show your wife that you appreciate her? Well, one, ask her, okay? But let me give you some things that I think she's going to agree with. What about if you just called her during the day? You know, you're at work, you got a meeting, you're riding down the road. Hey, baby, how you doing? Just wanted to call in, check on you. How you doing today? What about just sending her a text? Three little words, I love you. I love you. I mean, you know, I think you're awesome. You're great. Just phrases. That's all you have to do. You would not believe, ladies, am I correct? You would not believe that if you just sent your wife a text saying those things, I appreciate you, how much a small little text, how meaningful that would be to her, right? I mean, just small little things. Here's another way. Write her notes of encouragement. I challenged ladies last week. Write your husband a note of encouragement telling him how awesome you think he is. And man, that makes him feel so respected by you. And I mean, that's better than saying, I love you. Now, guys, listen, I promise the same's true for ladies. If you would write just a note, same as a text, I love you, I'm glad you're my wife, I'm grateful for you, I appreciate all you do. Just a small little note. You don't have to write a love letter, just a phrase, put it on the mirror before she sees it when she gets ready in the morning, put it on her steering wheel. You would be amazed at what just a small gesture will do, how it'll just literally begin to make her feel appreciated, make her feel, wow, this is meeting my need. Here's another way, help out around the house. You know, if you appreciate her, show her. I mean, you know, after dinner, I'm gonna tell you, man, it would be great. Just start helping her clean up after dinner. Vacuum or sweep a little bit. Do a little laundry. Man, you know what that'll do when you do that? It's gonna get her attention. And I promise you, when you get her attention, she might wanna get your attention, if you know what I mean, okay? And it'll do you some good. And so help her out around the house. How else do you do that? Tell her. When you're sitting, when you're driving, just telling her, listen, I appreciate what you do. I love you. And here's one of the greatest ways that you can appreciate your wife. For all that she does, and I want you to understand it's all that she does, but here's what I know. I believe this with 52 years of living experience and 30 years of ministry experience. Here's what I believe. I believe with all my heart that every woman on the planet, every woman in America at least, has a confidence issue, their self-confidence issue with their body, with their appearance. Why? Because we live in a country that tries to mold a standard of beauty that is unreal, that is not biblical. We live in a world, in a society that's airbrushed, and Hollywood and our music and media that tries to mold in our girls. And I ache for our girls growing up in a society like that. And I ache for our women that feels like if you're not a certain size, if you're not a certain look, then you're not the standard of beauty, which is junk, ladies. And I want you to understand that. And guys, your wife needs to know she's your standard of beauty, okay? She needs to know. I promise you, here's what I believe with all my heart, guys. If you were the one who made your wife feel confident and you built her self-esteem, she would not care what anyone else's standard of beauty was, because she would be fixated on what your standard of beauty is. And she thinks she's yours. That's all she needs to know, okay? And so how do you do that? You tell her. So many times, but when you dated your wife, you probably told her you thought she was beautiful. She felt confidence. Somewhere along the line, we get married, and sometimes guys feel like, man, I've won, I've conquered. I don't have to tell her that anymore, right? And listen, guys, I promise you, your wife needs to know she's your standard. Matter of fact, let me give you an example from the Song of Solomon. And Song of Solomon, chapter 7. Now, Song of Solomon is one of the greatest books in the Bible. It's in the Bible, what I'm about to read. Okay, I want you to know, first and foremost, I didn't write this. It's not poetry that I wrote. This is Solomon. It's in the Bible. And Solomon wrote this. It's one of the most sensual chapters and one of the most sensual books in the Bible. And so, but I want you to hear how Solomon makes his wife feel confident. And as I read this, I want you ladies to say, yeah, man, if my husband would just compliment me like this, wow, the difference it would make in my life. Guys, I want you to understand, if you would compliment your wife like this, well, the difference it would make. Now, as I say that, I want to make sure you understand something, okay? This passage is a descriptive passage, not a prescriptive passage. When you read the scripture, you need to know, is this a descriptive or prescriptive? Because sometimes it's describing something, it's not prescribing. And I say that because it describes the principle here is what he's doing. And he's complimenting his wife. He's very verbally generous with his wife. He's making her feel very confident. He's building her self-esteem. That's the principle. How he does it specifically, guys, you probably should change the words because there's a cultural difference between a few thousand years ago and today, okay? So let me read some of this for you. Knowing that, with that disclaimer, let me read some of this for you and listen to what Solomon and how Solomon here. Now, also, let me make this disclaimer. They are married at this point. Guys, when you're married to your wife, you should be very specific in how you compliment your wife. When you're dating, you do not compliment your girlfriend or fiance very specifically, okay? Yes, tell her she's beautiful, obviously, but don't start commenting on specific parts of her body, okay, as when you're dating. That's not appropriate to do. They're married, okay? This is marriage here. Look at what it says. How beautiful are your feet and sandals, O noble daughter. Man, it has always been about the shoes for the women, hasn't it? I mean, it goes back thousands of years. You know, you look in the closet, look at all those shoes, and look at your shoes, and like, whoa, I mean, same thing. It's just the way it is, guys. It's thousands of years. He starts at her feet, and he's going to work his way up. Look, your rounded thighs are like jewels in the work of a master's hand. I mean, he starts talking about the shape of her thighs. It's like, man, you were chiseled by God himself. It's obvious. I mean, you can begin to see her smile. You can begin to see her go, I mean, man, her confidence is rising. Your navel is a rounded bowl that never lacks mixed wine. Your belly is a heap of wheat encircled with lilies. See, guys, don't ever compare your wife's belly to a heap of anything. Okay? That would not be smart. Culturally, he's saying she's beautiful. You say it in our cultural way, okay? Don't compare her. Hey, baby, your belly, I'm telling you, it's like a rounded. No, don't do that, okay? You've been drinking too much mixed wine if you do that. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of gazelles, not even addressing that one. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are pools in Heshbon by the gate of Beth Rabim. Your nose is like a tower of Lebanon. Dudes, okay? Culturally, there's something beautiful about this, all right? I want you to understand. It's not the way it sounds. Like, you got a hunker. Not what he's saying, okay? It's not what he's saying. All right? Which looks toward Damascus. Your head crowns you like Carmel. That's a mountain. That's not like Carmel, okay? That's a mountain. And your flowing locks are like purple. A king is held captive in its tresses. Man, he's just saying, I mean, you are obviously created by the hand of God, chiseled by God. Kings look at you. And kings are like, wow, isn't she beautiful? How beautiful and pleasant you are, O loved one, with all your delights. Your stature is like palm trees, and your breasts are like its clusters. I say, I will climb the palm tree and lay hold of its fruit. Oh, may your breasts be like clusters of the vine, and the scent of your breath like apples. That's a good thing. You got good breath, baby, right? Now, you don't want stink, stank, stunk breath. That's a good thing. and your mouth is like the best wine. Man, now listen, they're married, okay, and he is just like, I mean, here's the principle. He starts at her, he goes up, and he's complimenting, he's very verbally generous with his wife. Now, ladies, let me ask you something. If your husband were, now, guys, this is not, you can't blow smoke. This is authentic, it's genuine. And if your husband were to do that, ladies, your self-esteem would begin to rise, correct? I mean, I guarantee you, gentlemen, your wife needs this because the world tells her one thing, and she's bombarded with it, from TV shows to magazines to books to podcasts to music to everything the world pressure puts within her brain. It's like, you got to look like this or you don't meet the standard. She needs to know, honey, you meet my standard. You meet my standard. He's very verbally generous with her. Now, let's look, because of his verbal generosity, let's look at her response. Two verses in 11 and 12. She says, come, my beloved, let us go out into the fields and lodge in the villages. Let us go out early to the vineyards and see whether the vines have budded, whether the grape blossoms have opened and the pomegranates are in bloom. There, I will give you my love. You see, here's what he's very verbally generous with her. And what's her response? Man, she's very generous with herself, right? I mean, she doesn't have a headache. Man, she is like, I rejoice in my ability to please my husband. Most men say, I want a woman like that. Well, guys, to be quite honest with you, most women say, if I had a man like that, you might have a woman like that, right? Now, here's what I don't want to portray. That's the world that we live in. It's like a lot of women are like, if I had a husband like that, then you might have a wife like that, and I want you to have a husband like that, but that's not how you respond. Remember, in a broken world is performance-based marriage. We're talking about grace-based, right? Performance-based marriage says, if you don't meet my needs, I'm pulling away and not meeting your needs. Grace-based says, no matter what you do, man, I'm giving you grace, and I'm coming toward you, and then that draws you back. And see, that's why unless you follow Christ and you're submitted to his word, some of this stuff absolutely is going to not make any sense to you, right? And so... When we see this, you know, we need to understand, guys, the point is our wives, they have this need for appreciation. They need to know that you appreciate them. And sometimes we guys, we get so wrapped up and that we say, man, I don't need to tell her. I don't need to tell her how I appreciate what she does. I don't need to tell her how she still like is my standard of beauty, how I think she's beautiful, and we don't. And we totally do not serve our wives. We don't live with them in an understanding way. We're not honoring them by meeting their needs because she has this need for to be absolutely appreciated. Do you meet that need? Now, here's another need. Another need that your wife has is conversation. She needs communication and conversation. I mean, it's just the way they were created. So therefore, they're a lot better at it than we guys. Right? I mean, that would be obvious. Studies prove, let me tell you what, some scientific research. Studies prove that little baby girls' mouths move hundreds of times more a day than do little baby boys. That doesn't surprise any man on the planet, does it? I mean, Harvard research says that Harvard research says that 100% of sounds coming from little girls' mouths deal with conversation. Only 68% of sounds coming from boys' mouths deal with conversation. The other 32% is mimicking animals and machines, right? I mean, that makes sense. Did you know that a woman speaks 12,000 more words a day than does a man? Sure we do. You see, man, we start out behind and we never really catch up, do we? I mean, obviously, our wives have a need for conversation. It's the way they were wired. They like and they need it. And so, guys, our role, our responsibility is to serve our wives and meet their needs. And if we serve them well, then we're going to make a conversation with them a priority. Now, let me make sure you understand. This does not mean that we have to have all the answers and solve the problems. Matter of fact, they don't really want you to have the answers to solve the problems. Doesn't make sense, guys. I know. But they don't want that. You see, women don't necessarily have a goal for the conversation. They don't even necessarily want to know the answer. They just want you to listen. And guys, this just, I know you can't get this because guys never have a conversation without a goal, okay? I mean, guys, unless I'm seeking an answer or I've got a goal for it, guys don't just call each other on the phone and, hey, man, tell me about your day. Let's just talk. That's not what guys do. You know, women, like, man, they can be on the phone just, I mean, sometimes Amy's on the phone with somebody and I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, I'm on and off. I mean, let me tell you how a guy's conversation goes. You know, I call somebody, yo, you going to the thing tonight? Yeah. Cool. See you there. Pink. That's it. Goal accomplished, right? Communication happened. That's not what a woman wants. She just wants to talk. Matter of fact, I've got a video here that I want to show you that illustrates it perfectly. So watch the video, and it says it much better than I can ever say it.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there.
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing.
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just, sometimes it's like, there's this achy, I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't...
I think that illustration nailed it, don't you? Philippians 2:4. You guys are like, that's my life. Philippians 2:4 says this, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Guys, you're either, bottom line, selfish or you're a servant. I mean, there's really, I mean, I know we vacillate between the two in different, circumstances, different times, but you're either selfish or you're a servant. If you're not interested in the needs of others, especially your wife, then you fall into the selfish category, right? I mean, guys, here's some homework, okay? Take your wife out this week, soon. Take your wife out. Don't go to a movie theater. I mean, it's great to take your wife to the movie sometimes, but not for this homework, because I want you to talk and you can't talk in the movie theater. Go, take her out to eat. Take her to Starbucks. Take her somewhere and just talk. Here's the thing, guys. She's going to do a lot more talking than you, but you can do it, all right? You can do it. Take her out and just talk, right? And I mean, this is a great place to say, man, how am I doing? All these things. And so take her out and talk, and you can do this, guys. You can do it, all right? So one need that she has, the number one need is for appreciation. Do you appreciate her? Do you live with her in an understanding way, understanding that she needs to be appreciated? Do you honor her by appreciating her? Do you take time to just talk with her, understanding, man, she doesn't necessarily have a goal for that conversation. She just wants to connect with you. This one way that she feels close to you. She wants to talk to you. Do you do that? And the third is affection. Your wife needs affection. In the book of Song of Solomon 1:2, it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Now, your wife, guys, has a need for affection. You do not necessarily have a need for affection. Some guys are more affectionate than others. Typically, guys don't have the same level of need for affection as do their wives. Matter of fact, I heard about a woman who was not feeling well. Her husband took her to the doctor. The doctor did his test, checked her all out, and said, there's really nothing physically wrong with your wife. And the man was confused. He said, man, there's something wrong with her. She's depressed. She mopes around the house all day. There's something wrong with her. Can you prescribe any meds? What can we do? The doctor thought for a minute. He walked over to the man's wife. He hugged her, kissed her, said, she needs this at least once a day. That's what I prescribe. He said, all right. He said, I guess I work, but I can have somebody to bring her in every day. See, guys, listen. Our mind doesn't necessarily go to affection. We're not necessarily, affectionate, so we don't understand our wives' need for it. Men often say, as they do when they say, man, I don't necessarily have to tell her I love her. I told her and something changed. We also say, man, she knew I wasn't a Cupid when she married me. She knew I wasn't romantic when she married me. Well, guys, you might not be a romantic, but you don't have to be a selfish lug nut either, okay? You live with your wife in an understanding way. You honor her, which means I understand she has this need. And so therefore, what am I going to do? I'm going to lay down my rights. I'm going to lay down myself. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to meet her need. Guys, you're not a lost cause, okay? I know affection doesn't come natural for some of you, okay? I know that. It doesn't necessarily come natural to me. It's not just, natural to me to walk in and like, oh, man, let's hug and all that kind of stuff. But here's what I also know. Some of you, man, think about your hobby, whatever your hobby is. Some of your hobby's golf. Here's what I promise you. Golf didn't come natural to you. Okay, golf doesn't come naturally, but you don't pick up a club and wow, man, I'm hit a 300-yard drive down the middle of the fairway. But what do? If you really want to play golf, you spend a lot of time and a lot of money getting your game right? Because so you can do it. That's exactly what you need to transfer over to your marriage and to your wife. You need to spend time, money, if necessary, learning how to meet the needs of your wife. See, guys, you were created as conquerors. You were created as achievers, not necessarily feelers and affectionate. But your wife has a need for it, and it's only your responsibility to meet that need. As we said last week, men have a need for sexual intimacy. Other people can meet some of the needs of a man, but only one person, by God's design and by God's order, is created to meet that need. Only one. Guys, your wife has a need for affection, and only one person should be meeting that need for affection. Ladies, you should never look for anyone else to meet that need. Guys, you should not create an open door of temptation. If we read in 1 Corinthians, you should not create an open door because you don't meet that need, which creates an open door for her to be deceived into believing someone else can meet that need for affection, okay? Most affairs, if you look at affairs, it's crazy, both inside and outside the church, to be quite honest, among Christians and non-Christians. I mean, people have affairs. Most affairs for men typically revolve around physical pleasure. For a woman, that's not the case. It revolves around emotional. It's emotional for a woman. It's not physical. Most of the time, it's emotional. It's because someone has made them feel appreciated, because someone converses with them, because someone is more affectionate with them, and they begin to be deceived. And guys, that's not God's plan. So ladies, let me make sure you understand something. Your husband may not meet this need, and when we walk out today, it's not like, man, this is a pill that we're giving him today, that he's going to go out, swallow it. Okay, I'm meeting your needs, and I'm going to be affectionate. I hope and pray, and this is a long-haul process. Okay? And so what I don't want you ladies to do is walk out of here and go, well, he's changed, he's fixed. No, that's not going to be the case. You men, I want you to stand up and try, okay, and begin to move that way. But ladies, if your husband does not meet your need for this, that doesn't mean you go out and search for it anywhere else, okay? It doesn't mean that you, matter of fact, if someone in your office, puts their arm around you and you feel like a warm tingly because that's an affection that you're having, then you need to remove yourself from that situation immediately. Guys, you need to be doing this to prevent temptation, as Paul says, right? To prevent an open door of temptation. So your wife needs affection, guys. She needs appreciation. She needs conversation. She needs affection. And finally, let me hit this one. Your wife needs spiritual leadership. She needs spiritual leadership. Matter of fact, every woman that I've ever counseled, every woman that I've legitimately talked to longs and even weeps for their husband to be a spiritual leader in their home. Why? Because that's the way God designed it. That's the way God designed it. Any other way is not by God's design, and so therefore any other way will not work. Guys, the role of spiritual leadership in the home lies squarely on your shoulders. It's not your wife's job. It's not even the church's primary job. It's your job, gentlemen, in the home. And it's your job, and I know that takes courage and you know, but it's the way God designed it. And so until you step up to the plate and begin to spiritually lead your home, your marriage will not be all that it could and should be. And so how do you do this, guys? Listen, some of you are thinking, man, I don't know if I can do this. I got to go to seminary. I mean, what I got? No, guys, you make way too more complicated than what this is. Okay. Now, yes, we want you to grow. We want you to learn biblical principles. We want you to be biblically fluent. We want you to be gospel fluent. We want you to be all those things. That's what we're trying to do. But wherever you are, don't make more out of this. Let me tell you the wrong thought. Well, I'll do that when I learn more Bible. No, you don't do that when you learn more Bible. You do it today. Because no matter how far, I could still be saying that. Well, I'll do it when I learn more Bible. I'll do it when I learn more answers because I don't know all the answers. No, you do it today. And how do you do it? You see, we put too much pressure on the fact that we think we got to know all the answers. Sometimes my kids ask me questions. I'm like, I don't know. It's a good question. That's great. It's a good question. Right? So how do you do that? Well, let me give you a couple of things. One is you be committed to the church. Let them see a commitment. The church, Jesus died for the church. Jesus created the church. And here's what happens in a lot of kids' lives. A lot of kids in today's world do not see church as a commitment. They see it as a convenience. Man, I'll go if I don't have to do anything else, if nothing else comes along. And they need to see you be committed to the church, which means I'm faithful in attendance. It means I'm faithful and I serve the body. I pray for the body. I'm involved in my church. And guys, that you're leading your family when you're saying, hey, man, we're going to church. So hey, let them see you committed, all right? Now, let me go the next step, because here's what's happened for a long while within America, and a lot of millennials today have seen their parents that come through, you know, different times, whether it was the 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s. A lot of millennials and even the next generation saw parents that went to church, but it did not make a difference in how they lived Monday through Friday. And then so what a lot of people began to do is say, okay, that was important to them, but it didn't really change anything, and so it didn't fix any. I don't guess it's effective, so what use is it? What good is it? So they need to see you committed to the church. No such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. They need to see you committed to the church, but then they need to see it affect your life Monday through Friday. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. As a matter of fact, it's through your imperfection. It's through when you mess up, when you lose your temper, and how you respond to that, that they see how you're growing in Christ. So there's not this pressure to be perfect. There's not this pressure to, well, I'm a Christian, and I go to church, and so my kids have to see me be perfect. Not at all. They just need to see you the direction, not perfection. Right? They need to see you in pursuit, not in perfection. And so do they see you in the Word? Do they see you in the Word? You know, one of the things that I do when I have my quiet time at home, sometimes I come to the office, it depends on the day or time. Sometimes I come to the office, sometimes I have it at home, on the weekends if I'm having it at home, obviously. One of the things, I used to do it on my phone a lot. There's nothing wrong with doing it on your phone. It's, you know, if it's the Bible, I got the ESV Study Bible on my phone, and it's not the Bible. But, you know, I switch to a Bible at home. Why? Well, I sort of like it, but I want my kids to see me. I don't want my kids to, is he texting, is he emailing? I want my kids to see me in the Word. I want them to remember that. I want them to remember Dad was in the Word, right? I want them to see me in the Word. You know, I want them to see me say, I'm committed to the church, but I'm in the Word. Man, listen, guys, one of the things you need to do is you need to pray with your wife. Let your kids see you. Somebody say, I don't know how to pray. I'm a man. You know, we men, it's like, I don't pray, and that's emotional. That's feeling, right? I mean, listen, they need to see you. If you don't do anything but, God, thank you for my wife and kids, help them to have a good day. There's not a woman in this room or a woman I know that's going to look at her husband when he prays that and say, is that all you got? Is that right, ladies? No, women's going to say, thank you for leading. Thank you for being willing to pray. Thank you for being willing to pray. God, bless my wife. Thank you for her. Thank you for my kids. Help them to have a good day. If you pray for them at night, kids, or God, thank you for my kids. Help us to sleep good and have a good day tomorrow. Amen. You know, if that's what you do, you start there. It's not, that's really not rocket science, as I said earlier. It's not complicated, right? You get on our app, you read, pray, sing. You read, pray, sing. You know, our app and our website, man, it's got resources for you to go read a Bible verse, ask this question. I mean, it's just add you. Read a Bible verse. It gives you the verse. Ask this question. And, I mean, sing. See, I can't sing a lick. Most of you men can't sing a lick either. But you know what, man? Your kids, here's what I guarantee you. Your kids will always be grateful and remember the fact that you were singing, even when you couldn't. They're not going to think, Dad couldn't sing a lick. They're going to say, man, my dad, that was important. And pray. Read, pray, sing. Let me tell you what. I'll guarantee you, you can leave your kids millions of dollars. I hope you do, okay? Matter of fact, if you do, leave some to the church if you got millions. I hope you do, but I'll promise you this. If you spiritually lead your home by doing the things I said today, gentlemen, if you try and you do that, you will leave something that much more, you'll leave an inheritance to your kids that's greater than any monetary value you can ever leave them. I'll promise you. Our kids need moms and dads that leave them a heritage of spiritual growth and spiritual leadership much more than they need an inheritance of money and homes and junk, okay? So listen, your wives need spiritual leadership. She longs for it, guys. I'll promise you, she longs for it. She longs for you to lead the home. And I'll promise you this, there's nothing that you will do more that will be more sexy in her eyes than to lead at home. That they'll make her think, man, I'm attracted to this man more than saying, can I pray with you? Let me read the word. There's nothing that will make your wife be more attracted to you than that. I'll promise you can ask them. If they get down to the nitty gritty, you can ask them, okay? And so, guys, if we look at Ephesians chapter 5, let me read Ephesians. Let me close by reading Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 25. Here's what it says. For the husband is the head of his wife, of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church's body and is himself its Savior. Verse 25, that talks about men, spiritual leadership. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, I started by saying, if you're not a believer, you're not submitted to the word, it's going to be hard to understand this stuff. You see, here's what I know. Our wives have needs. Unless you love your wife just as Christ loved the church, you're not going to meet these needs. What did Christ do for the church? He died. He put our need for salvation, our need for intimacy with God above his need for comfort, and he got on the cross and he died. Gave his life. He laid down his life. And this is spiritual leadership. When the Bible says, when Paul says, dudes, lay down your life for your wife. Lay down your life for your wife. Lay down your fears. Lay down what you feel are your incompetencies. Lay down your rights and your demands for her to meet your rights. Lay all that down and focus on meeting your wife's needs. Husbands and wives, I'm going to tell you, more than you need to be praying for your husband, if you're a wife, or your wife, if you're a husband, to step up to the plate, you need to be praying for yourself to step up to the plate. You pray for yourself to step up to the plate and trust the Lord to do that for your husband or your wife. You pray for yourself. And lay down yourself and be more grace-based than performance-based and see what God begins to do in your marriage, okay? Now, we're going to baptize right now. And we baptized in the first service. I think today we're baptizing like 19 people. We baptized several in the first service, a lot of kids. And we had a lot of dads baptizing. And, man, that was so special. To see dads and that role in their kids' lives, and if they weren't baptizing, they were right there supporting, and that's awesome. And so we're going to baptize, and we're going to celebrate that. And as we celebrate that, here's what I want you to understand: water doesn't save anyone. So you may be here going, "Okay, this is cool. What's this about?" Water doesn't save. This doesn't give the people that's baptized salvation. Not at all, right? It's a symbol. It's a symbol, like your wedding ring. My ring doesn't make me married. It shows that I am. Baptism says I've given my life to Christ. I've trusted him. My old life is dead, and I'm raised to a new life, and it's a death and burial and a resurrection of a new person. It's symbolic of a commitment. Bible says to do it, to show people that I'm different on the inside. I'm different. These people aren't going to be perfect by any stretch, just like you're not. But their moms and dads are primarily responsible if they're children or if they're adults. Listen, their families are responsible for having them. We're their family. We're their spiritual family. It's our role to come alongside them and help them to mature and to become like Christ. That's what we do as family, okay? So we're going to celebrate, and we're going to rejoice. And some of you might say, you know what? I've never given my life to Christ. And in the first service, we had an older man come back. I need Jesus. Gave his life to Christ. Amazing. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's you. If you're watching online, maybe that's you. Email us. Call us. We want to help you. If you'll come back, if you're in the room, if you'll come back to the Pastor's Connection, we would love to help you understand what it means to give your life to Christ. So I'm going to pray. Travis and our band's going to come and lead us. We're going to baptize, worship. Travis will release you when we're through. We're going to celebrate. And, man, we're just going to see what the Lord does today and thank him for what he's already done. Jesus, we love you and thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, as we learn about marriage, we learn about family, God, we don't have to do this in our own power. God, if I begin to think about the things that you've commanded me to do as a husband, I would not be able to do them. Oh, I could try. I could give it a good old college try, Lord, but I couldn't do it. But God, thank you that because I'm surrendered to you, the Holy Spirit lives within me, and the gospel doesn't just save me. It empowers me to live out the things that you've commanded me to do. Thank you for that. And I pray that for every husband in the room. I pray for those husbands in here that do not know you, that today, Holy Spirit, you would convict them. Jesus, you would open their eyes to see you. And God, I pray that today you would save people. I pray that, Holy Spirit, with the husbands in the room that know you, that your Holy Spirit would begin to enable them to live gospel truths out, that they would submit to you so that they could do the things you've called us to do in your power, not in ours. And Lord, in that we would find life. Our marriages would find life, and that people would then look at us, and it wouldn't just be about having a happy home. It would be about a home that represents you so that people could look in and say, you're not perfect, your family's not perfect, but I want what you got because we represent the kingdom of God. Lord, we love you. Thank you for letting us be kingdom in your kingdom. Please help us to live like kingdom people should live in marriage and friendships and all of our relationships so that people would look to you, not just so we would be happy, but so you would get glory. We love you and praise you. Thank you for those that are being baptized. We know they're not going to be perfect, but God, I pray that today people would be inspired by their commitment and would follow in their footsteps. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.